Good morning, Jump in Tucson listeners. I'm not Tom Moulton. I wish I were. Tom is the normal host for this show on Thursdays, but he's getting a vacation, and he said, what would you like to talk about? And I said, can we talk about bikes? So I brought a lot of bike people in here, people who really appreciate cycling, and people who are going to get involved in a big way in creating not only the first velodrome in Arizona, but the first aluminum velodrome in the world. I'm Big Al here for Tom. Our Tucson Velodrome Project is a discussion today, and our sponsors are Visit Tucson, Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and Aggerly Advertising, my good friend Ed. He's all of our good friends. We want to make sure that they're noted as the sponsor of the show. So, we have the Velodrome Project, and we have people here that are very knowledgeable about what they are. And so Ralph Phillips from Fairwheel Bikes, who we talked about with before the 9 o'clock hour with Chris. We also have Mel Hado, who is basically the king of USA cycling, it seems. And then we have a guy that I just met today from the Musselman Honda Circuit, P1 Kart. His name is Charles Quiroz. And Charles has an interesting story before he even got involved with cycling, back as a broker, basically, in New York. Charles, you were the king of doing media things and getting into deregulation of media, and you were in on the front end of that thing and know a lot about broadcasting. But just to give us an idea, tell us who really you are now. Tell us who you are now. Well, what are you doing now?
I'm doing a few different projects. I've been very fortunate. I have a ranch I'm developing down in Cochise County along the Babbo-Kirmi River. Actually, I'm protecting it. I fenced it off, and we're trying to keep the cows out of there and protect the watershed. We just did a survey for fireflies, lightning bugs, with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. I got a $25,000 grant that we're able to make improvements. We did some analog dams that help slow down the water and reduce erosion. We're trying to keep the water level up of the aquifer. Right now it's about 23 feet, and it's very healthy, and we're hoping to maintain that.
Great, great. Now, how are you involved with what is, and we'll get into what a velodrome is, how are you involved with the Velodrome Project?
Well, since I was real young here in Tucson, about 10 years old, I started riding dirt bikes, and we used to ride up at Pontotoc, and there was nothing up in the foothills. We had a place called White Cliffs up there, and we would ride all the time. Every day after school, we'd meet right next to Tolfo owned the Racquet Club. We'd meet right there, and we'd ride all the way up to Pontotoc. Anyways, that grew into motorcycle racing, dirt bikes, and we raced in San Manuel and Tucson, the old Tucson Dragway at Poorman and Houghton Road. Raced there for years, almost every Saturday night, and then and other places around the country. And then later I got involved with the business side of employment, and
right.
I moved to New York, and I worked there for a number of years. And then when I moved back,
Big time broker.
Well,
I'll say it.
I don't know.
I
was a broker, and I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot, but when I moved back home, I got on with Tucson Fire. I was very fortunate again. There was 4,500 applicants. I was the 34th. They picked the top 35. I was there through training, and I kind of struggled with one particular captain. I don't need to name names, but after a while, I decided even though I made it through, I wasn't going to follow through with it. So I ended up, I worked part-time for Sanchez Burrito. I helped them on the business side. And then I decided I was going to develop this racetrack. Mm-hmm. So I developed Musselman Honda Circuit, and I got a long-term lease from Pima County from Dan Felix at the time, and with
the late Dan Felix,
guy. He saw the opportunity of what we're doing, and also Steve Anderson. Mm-hmm. Steve Anderson worked for Parks for years, and just good people. And the whole idea was to provide education and recreation, mm-hmm. and that's what we did. We did really good. We struggled 2008, but we really did well. I tied in with all the local resorts. The Ritz-Carlton, La Paloma, they all, I know them all personally because I worked with them for years. They bring corporate groups in. That's what helped pay the bills.
Right.
And we do corporate team building. So anyways, we even went as far as I was reading an article last night. We had Ellen and Company, which is one of the top brokerage firms in the world, and they do a big, huge summer thing up in Idaho for in Sun Valley for all these billionaires, and it's pretty amazing. But they came to Tucson, and they would come to our track.
Wow.
And we had to sign these non-disclosure. It was pretty involved, anyways. But it was really good, and we built the business, and then we had looked at one time of building a full-size road course. My business partner, a local surgeon, said he would help underwrite it, and Andy Anderson, a gentleman here in town, a well-known architect, and just a wonderful man, had helped me for years, and we tried and struggled, and we didn't have the money. Then we finally had the money. What ended up happening, he got shot down at the last minute, and mm-hmm. we went back, and for 3 years, we pushed, about 4 years from now, or previous, and we pushed, and they finally approved the velodrome. We had to have a long-term lease from the county. It was an inexpensive way for us to start the business. We feel like the business needs to stand on its own financially, and we don't want to have money from government sources. So we use private money, and we have an opportunity now to develop a velodrome, and it is going to be the first in Arizona. It's also going to be the first in the world that's going to be built. Structure is going to be aluminum.
It's going to look great.
It's going to look like a spaceship.
Stop right there. We're going to move over to Mel Hotto. Mel, you brought in with you as a guest. Mel is a USA Cycling rep and a registered racer. How are you involved in this, other than consulting, probably?
Ralph and I have been active in trying to get a velodrome built in Arizona for almost as long as I've been alive.
Different reasons that it never happened.
Yes, there are different reasons that it never happened. The closest we came was back when the bond issue, I forget when, you remember the year on that?
The 80s.
80-ish. The bond issue totally failed, and then we had to start over again from scratch.
Now, I remember Richard DeBernardis wanting to do a velodrome. Richard was the originator, along with Ralph, of the L Tour, and that was going to be up at Sports Park at Ina Road. And something happened, Ralph. I don't know what it was, but it just fell through. And that was the last I had heard of a velodrome.
Yeah, it's been going on since 1975.
Yeah, this is a long-time project.
Yeah, it's failed, and it's just so encouraging to see this going through. It's going to be great.
It is going to be great. So, let's talk about how you're involved in this.
I'm a USA Cycling official.
Which means the ref.
The ref. I'm also a promoter. I promote track races and in California. I'm also a racer. I've been racing for 50 years.
At least. Yeah.
I've been racing on the track for 40 of those years.
Mm-hmm. You're here to provide some expertise
on
right.
what
Because you've track seen a lot of these velodromes.
Everything west of the Mississippi I've ridden on.
And the velodromes you've seen that basically is a bank track for bikes can extend the banking from 17 degrees up to how far?
In the turns of the velodrome, the minimum banking for a UCI international competition is 42 degrees.
That's pretty minimum. Steep. Pretty steep, isn't it?
There is one in Detroit that is actually 50 degrees.
How do you stay on your bike, man?
It's centrifugal force.
Speed.
Okay.
It's speed.
Speed and, neither which I have right now.
You're here.
Ralph, how are you involved with this other than maybe providing a little bit of input, a little informal guidance on how things maybe could work?
I'm here at your request because I love working with you, and I've been involved in trying to get a track in here since 75, and it's just great to see someone push it through. I mean, track racing can be just phenomenal, And we've got a chance here to do it, and I'm really glad we're doing it.
We're going to take a quick break on Jump in Tucson. That went real quick, and we've got a couple more segments to go. Our sponsors are Visit Tucson, Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and Accurately Advertising. Come right back. Back with Jump in Tucson. The air quality not great. Our news professional and traffic professional, Matthew D. Neely, said that it's from the whetstones coming in toward us. You may have seen some of that as you came in. It's visibility is probably 5-6 miles. It's really thick. Not a great day for cycling, that's for sure.
Or breathing.
Yeah, not for sure. My guests are Ralph Phillips from Fairwheel Bikes, Don Melhado, USA Cycling expert and registered rider, and of course, Charles Key Rose, the Musselman Honda Circuit P1 kart owner and principal partner in the Tucson Velodrome project. I know that you had mentioned that this is a something that we can get kids started at that no other place in Arizona can really say that they have. I mean, this is really the place. If anyone from Phoenix wants to do something like this, guess where they come? Right here.
Yeah, correct. Yes, that's absolutely our currently our profile of our customers is about 80% of our customers are from outside of Tucson.
Okay.
But it'll probably be about the same with the new facility. We purchased 30 bikes from California that are track bikes for Velodrome and all sizes. And we plan on, again, our goal is education and recreation. So we're going to fill that niche. And kids will be excited about this. This will be really good. And then we're going to find a ways. We work with SARSAF. We're going to find ways to apply math and engineering to it so kids can do a little bit of both.
My daughter got a scholarship from SARSAF. I know a lot about those people. They're great. They're very good people. So you've got kids involved here, and we have to start them somewhere. So that's at point zero on one of these because no one knows how to use one. And the banking goes up to, you said, around what, 42% on this, guys?
Yes.
42 degrees.
But there also is 0% around the bottom.
Correct.
And that's where we start, right? People
yes.
like you and me, everyone, wants, not you guys, but me, want to learn on 0% banking. How long does it take for a kid to learn to do something this, I think it's advanced cycling. How long does it take to get them onto the bank?
Bob Francis has a foundation. He's out of Scottsdale, and he trains kids from 6 years old up all over the country. His foundation is located in and greeted in every velodrome in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It is from zero to racing is an 8 week, twice a week course.
All day?
Several hours.
Okay. All right. What about old schoolers? How long does it take them?
That kind
whatever it takes.
That kind of depends upon your fear factor. If you walk into one of these places and you feel as though you don't like this roller coaster, you may never do it. But if you come in with a minimum of bicycle experience and you like to go fast, you will be up on the banking in one day.
Ralph, how do you get down from the banking?
Slowly. I did a video on this, and you don't slow down all at once. Well, first of all, there are no brakes on a track bike. Second of all, you cannot coast on a track bike. You have to continue pedaling. The audience should know that. So to come off, to be on the side of that banking at 42 degrees, you have to have a certain amount of speed, and you can't let that go at all at once. So you just kind of decelerate and come off the banking onto the apron on the flat part, and that's how you do it.
So 8 weeks from zero to
racing.
Pretty good.
To your first race.
Yeah. And how do we do these races? How have you seen these races work?
That's not my forte. That's Don's.
Okay.
He's heavily involved. We have a citizens committee that's constructing our educational program, and we have different people that are have different tasks? And I'll let Don answer that specific question.
Go ahead.
There are a number of races. There's a scratch race, a tempo race, handicap, Kieran, points race, Madison. We don't do a Madison very often.
What is that? Well, now you got me interested.
There are two teams of two riders on the track with 10 teams.
So that's 20 people right there.
And one rider races while the other one rests, riding around the top of the track, and then comes down for a sprint and is thrown, hand-slung, into the race.
So there's a lot of etiquette in that kind of racing because you've got to watch out for each other. Everything is happening.
You better be good friends.
You better be, and watch, and know what's happening.
You're actually thrown.
Yes.
Reaches back and throws his partner into the race for the sprint.
So that gives him acceleration, instant, boom.
As a side note, the Madison is named after exactly that, Madison Square Garden. That's where it started.
I was thinking maybe Billy Madison, the way he played golf, throwing the ball up and then hitting it with the club. Tell me about USA Cycling in general. That's your sanctioned thing.
Correct.
For this sort of thing.
USA Cycling is the national governing body for all permitted bicycle racing in the United States. They are the governing body under the U.S. Olympic Committee. The Olympic Committee calls the shots, and you have USA Cycling, you have USA Badminton, USA Wrestling.
Right.
So that's how that works. All of the officials, officials and coaches, anybody involved with USA Cycling has to have a criminal background check, has to, for those who are involved on the road, that is following a race, has to have a vehicular license check twice a year, every 2 years. And the new thing now since the Olympic issue with the doctor, we all annually have to pass a safe sport refresher test. And every 3 or 4 years, we have to take a 4-hour class.
Okay. All right. Charles, obviously you have really forgot a lot about the marketing more than any of us will ever learn about doing this sort of thing. You really tied in. I mean, if you got SARSEF going, you got all these other different organizations going. Is this a nonprofit?
Yes, we're a 501c4.
Okay.
So we're not a charity, although we, for the Velodrome, we have both a charity, a foundation, 501c3, and we have the C4. The C4, again, is what I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. It provides education and recreation opportunities.
Gotcha. Well, this has been quick. We've got another half hour to go. We're going to take the break here on Jump in Tucson. Tom Moulton's on vacation somewhere in the Midwest, I think in Minnesota. You'll have to ask him when he gets back. I'm Alan Kaith, in for Tom. Thank you to our sponsors, Visit Tucson, the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and Ackerley Advertising. Back in just a little bit. We're going to talk, when we come back, more about how this thing is going to be the unique thing in the world that we hope that it will be. 9:35 on Jump in Tucson with friends of distinction here in the studio, Ralph Phillips, Charles Quiroz, and Don Melhado. We're talking about Tucson's first and only, and America's only, aluminum velodrome that is scheduled for construction this year. You're doing stuff right on it right now. Ralph, your question to Charles.
Well, I mean, just to let the audience know, track racing was started, velodrome racing was started with spectators in mind. If you go to the Tour de France, you sit 4 hours on a corner and you see the peloton go through in 2 minutes. You go to a velodrome event and you can watch the whole event, and it's exciting. You can see everything happening, and some of these events are just really exciting. We were just talking about Madison racing. So my first question to you was, do you have seating for potential people to buy seats?
We have it planned in our master plan. We have numerous features, but when you develop a business, the smart way to develop it is let's get the business open and operating. And then we're going to add seating. We have it designed to add. We have Musco lights included, which we are going to put in right at the beginning. We also want to cover it. We're hoping that we gain a healthcare interested company involved in the healthcare industry, perhaps. It could be a number of corporations. But we're hoping to get a title sponsor and do an engineered cover over the facility also. But to that end, both the cyclists will be there early in the morning and in the evening this time of year. In the wintertime, it's all the time, but this time of year, it's going to be early in the morning and in the late afternoon. Again, we're hoping to cover it and put our logo of our title sponsor on top of it. So when you fly into Tucson, you clearly see the sponsorship.
That's a great idea.
Well, you know,
who would have thought of that? Marketing 101.
Yeah, that's a great idea. But yeah, Tucson is already a destination for cycling, and you add track racing in on it, it's gonna go crazy for you.
That said, one of our goals is the 2028 Olympics is coming, which Don knows a lot about what's happening because he's got his thumb on it. We're hoping to host a lot of the competitors because we'll also have the cycle ranch, I think a bicycle ranch, and then we'll have our facility, and then we have our great atmosphere here where we can ride. So the goal is to get a lot of those Olympic athletes and have them here testing, which it's a lot less expensive than going and a lot less hassle than being in LA.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Now, we were talking off the air about the velodromes, 99.99% are all wooden, and this is the first one that's aluminum. And so is there an appeal to the cyclist individual for an aluminum velodrome versus wood? Does it ride differently? Is it better?
It must have a coating on the aluminum.
Well, we think, I'm going to let Don answer this, but I want to say one thing first. Peter Junik, we hired, who's the number one designer in the world of velodromes. His dream was to put up an aluminum velodrome. He hasn't been able to do it yet, and this is the first one because of our environment with our heat and dry atmosphere. We think it's a smart choice, and I'm going to let Don answer this, like I said, but he feels that this could set world records. It could be very fast. We don't know yet. It's a prototype, in a sense.
Okay, if wooden velodromes are built with slats that run longitudinally around the track.
Right.
The aluminum velodrome will be built exactly the same way with slats that run longitudinally around the velodrome. Each slat, each piece will have a number of ridges on it to provide traction.
Right.
But the fact that there will be less deformation
because there's no wood.
Because there's no wood, the surface will be much stiffer.
Right. And there's nothing to warp.
Nothing to warp. The surface will be much stiffer. Consequently, there will be incrementally more speed available on that particular kind of design. This is yet to be proven out, but the theory and the engineering seems to provide not proof, but substantial
strong something. Yeah.
Yes.
So there is no coating on it; just those ridges.
Just the ridges, and the entire surface will be sandblasted to bring down
the slickness on it.
No, not only the slickness, but the reflectiveness of
it. It makes sense that there's no coating.
I would think, though, on the other hand, with the sun shining on it, it would absorb heat if you don't have a coating on
it. Well, each individual slat or board, however you want to call it, is a heat sink. It's about 2 inches wide, and there are two fins that come down that are about 2 inches deep.
Right.
So that's your cooling right there, is that it's a heat sink.
Okay.
It pulls the heat away from the surface.
Okay.
Non-warpable. Unless it's 300 degrees out, right?
Well, yeah, if it's 300 degrees out, you can't put a tire on it anyhow.
We're in trouble.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles, how many velodromes have you seen? I know there are a few.
There are four.
Okay.
I've ridden every single one of them.
Which one do you like the best? And then tell me, in the early days of Los Angeles, back when they were having water issues and people were being begged to come out there to live, that the plan was to build velodromes and have people buy 5 acres, do it themselves.
This was brand new to me today. Charlie's much more educated than that. But what was the question or the direction?
You've ridden on all four LA velodromes. Yeah. Which do you like the best?
I prefer Encino, which was developed in the 80s as a practice velodrome for the Olympic team. The latest and greatest, the biggest and most expensive velodrome in California is the Los Angeles Velodrome in Carson, which is an indoor wooden velodrome. It pretty much gets all of the national and international races take place there.
You like the one though, that's the
outdoor velodrome in Encino. It's very folksy.
Yeah. All right, so tell me about this Los Angeles Great Migration, and the thought is we'll build velodromes, or you can build your own velodrome back in the day.
Yeah, that was a really interesting. You can look up the movie. It's talks about velodromes and how they were built back in 1910, 1920. It was super popular because the real estate industry would build them to bring people from back east to Los Angeles. But they didn't always race bicycles. It was motorcycles and like midgets or cars. They built these velodromes to bring people in to sell real estate. It's just an interesting history with velodromes and the different uses between automotive, motorcycles, and cycling.
Mm-hmm. Now, off the air again, we were talking about, because this is such a great idea and it's such a unique idea for Arizona, why hasn't anyone done it before?
Money,
but also politics, probably.
A lot of politics. I believe every attempt to do it in Tucson or in Arizona involved government financing, and that meant some sort of bond issue.
Yeah.
And because velodrome racing outside of the Olympics is relatively unheard of,
mm-hmm.
It's very hard to get the constituency to
pony up,
you know, several million dollars. And the last bond issue that failed back in the 80s, there was $9 million allocated for a velodrome, and we fought tooth and nail to get that through every committee that came along, but it was just a bad time to try and float a $300 and something million bond.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Maybe even more than that. Why wouldn't Scottsdale want to do this?
They do want to do it.
Why can't they?
There is no cohesive organization in the Phoenix area to put together, or hasn't been, to go through the anguish of trying to get this done.
There is anguish.
But Tucson is a cohesive community
for cycling especially. Yeah.
That sees every person that I've ever talked to wanted to know why there is not a velodrome in Tucson, since it's the center of cycling in the U.S.
Yeah. And it's a good point. Why isn't there one? Well, money and politics. Right.
Yeah. So there's two components. There's the land, and then there's the structure. And so we're very fortunate because Pima County and Jan and Diane Fish from Attractions saw the value, and they said, we'll give you a lease, you develop it. And so it cut the price in half as opposed to having to purchase the property and then get it zoned for that.
Diane Frisch was my old boss. She can smell a deal 50 miles away. She's good at this. So more about the kids. Ralph, have you trained any kids on a velodrome anywhere?
No.
I mean, the kids could be 25 years old, man.
Anybody. You know, I was looking through a lot of YouTube videos, and the Great Britain does a lot of that. They have a big program for kids learning from, two, three, four. No, I shouldn't say two, probably 5 years old. But they take to it naturally. It's like there's no fear there, and they're just raring to go. So, looking down the road, that's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be a big thing for us. And, you know, Ralph, rarely do I editorialize, as you know, but this seems like it's a no-lose, no-brainer.
We've worked hard to become a destination. I mean, Don and I can both remember 50 years ago, it wasn't that easy to ride your bike. I mean, there weren't as many people here, but there wasn't as big a backing of cycling, and it's grown. It's grown hugely. So we've become a destination.
What is the downside of this? Is there a downside?
There's no
downside. Once it's built, what's the bad thing on
this? It's going to make money.
Yeah, it's going to make money. It's going to attract a ton of people. Ralph's familiar with this. In Tucson, on every Saturday, there's a impromptu race called the Shootout.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Okay. Now, the Shootout, during the winter,
there are 200 people on it.
There's 200 people, and at least five languages being spoken.
Yeah. This is part of the Altour revised, rethought circuit.
Yes,
to keep the cyclists away from a lot of the traffic, and it is a challenge.
It is a big
challenge.
We've been through that.
And he was the one that suggested that, Ralphie. You were the one that suggested that.
Well, for the Shootout or
for moving the Altour to the Shootout?
Well, yeah.
You did that.
I've been doing the Shootout for 50 years now.
I have to call him out because he won't say it himself.
Oops.
So we need to get kids interested, and this is a long time project for starting from year zero when we get it built. When do you think, because it's hard to say, it always is hard to say when something will be completed to where you feel comfortable opening it up. When do you think it will be done?
Well, we've submitted the documents, construction documents, to Pima County, but they're looking at them in two stages. They're going to look at everything from the ground, like the footers down, and once they approve that, we're hoping to set a meeting up here shortly in the next few days. Once they approve that, we should be able to start moving dirt. And then at that point, once we get the foundation in, then we're going to move on to the structure. And that's going to be the second submittal, which they have already, but they're not going to review it until they finish reviewing the first submittal. Then they'll review that. We think the timeline, we're hoping we're about 2 months out from now. It's been about 2 months now that we submitted them, but we're hoping another couple months they can have it approved, and then we can start working. We've hired Lloyd Construction. Brad Lloyd, great group of people, and they do quality work, and they're going to oversee the project, like I said, along with Peter Junick, who is the artist, designer. He's actually an engineer also, and he's the one that's built, 43 velodromes, I think?
This will be number 40.
This will be number 40, beautiful velodromes. If you look at some of his work, it's like artistic in a sense. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Not quite a Mona Lisa, but pretty close.
Well, it's a Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
and we think this is going to look spectacular too, because it is aluminum.
10 minutes until 10. We've got 10 minutes left. We'll take the break on Jump in Tucson, sponsored by Visit Tucson, the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, headed by Diane Frisch at Ackerley Advertising. I'm Big Al, along with Ralph Phillips, Don, and Charlie. We'll be back for our last segment, kind of a free form. I'm not sure how you could hold anyone tight on a velodrome unless you're doing the Griffin and throw them in front of you. But it's pretty neat project. Again, we don't think it's any risk to the city or the county or anyone. It's just a great project for the state of Arizona and probably for the country.
And for Tucson especially.
Ralph Phillips, any thoughts, any questions for Don or Charles?
No, well, you know, I looked at it from the spectator point of view, and some of the events are just really exciting. It's like NASCAR on bicycles, and it can be just really exciting, and that's where I'm looking at selling seats to people who want to watch that. I mean, it's going to be great that
potential
way.
Great marketing partner right here.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? I've been involved in numerous businesses and numerous vertical markets, industries. This has more potential, I feel, than any other business I've seen, as far as, you know, it's not computers, it's not something of that nature, but for this type of, we have the sky's the limit.
Yeah, you have the people here, the community, the bicycling community, you put on a venue like that.
It's a healthy program.
And they get excited watching it. I mean, mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
Don, by nature, I'm a little paranoid. And when you say they can't get together up north, what if they saw this happening and saw the huge success that it will be, we think? What will they do then? Will they get together, or is this just something that they can't figure out?
We have people from up north on our committee, because there's no committees, there's no organization currently in the Phoenix area, in the Phoenix metropolitan area, to get this done. So a lot of the bicycle movers and shakers are looking south.
You know, I'm thinking of this logistically too, because we're close to Mexico. There's not a good Mexican bicycle team that ever comes to run in El Tour, right, Ralph?
Wrong.
Like everyone.
So
this is closer to really a logistics home run than it would be to go further north.
Well, and our winter is going to just really kill it. I mean, people will be here from all over the country for our winter. And if there's a track, boom, you're gone.
And what hasn't been mentioned yet is Catherine Bertine's Home Stretch Foundation, who she brings in.
The Queen of Bisbee?
She brings in professional women to spend the winter in Arizona. And if we get this thing up and running, I would guarantee that there would be three times the number of women coming to train in Tucson.
Yep. What are we going to do with all the people?
Hotels, resorts.
That's what hotels and resorts are for.
And grocery stores.
We'll take the break at 4 minutes till 10 o'clock and come back for a quick wrap-up. I'm Big Al, along with my
guests.
Sorry, Matt. I'm sorry about that. I thought we had a little break left over. Well, thanks, guys. Charles Quiroz, Don Melhado, and Ralph Phillips, my partner in crime for the L Tour that we do every year for a long, long time on Brand X Radio. Happy to be here today with you. Our sponsors again today, the great Visit Tucson, Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and Ackerley Advertising. See ya.